Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And also join us on the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Now, the following program has been pre-recorded in front of a live audience, so please forgive the occasional sound fluctuation. And now, here's David.
We want to welcome you today on Science, Sound, and Spirituality. This is a very special podcast today in which we have two wonderful, wonderful guests. And our subject today is probably one of the most important subjects that we could be talking about on the planet at this time, and that's peace. We're glad to have with us Lawrence Tolliver. Lawrence is a board of directors of the International Centers for Spiritual Living and has a great many wonderful things that we could say about him that time does not permit, but he has done wonderful, been very involved in the areas of sacred peace as an activist, and works with us right here at Unity of Charlotte in conducting peace meditation, collective meditation groups that we're very proud of and pleased of. And we're going to be talking to Lawrence in just a moment. Also, we have with us a wonderful, wonderful author and founder of Peace Centers International, Dr. Margot Ruark. I hope I said that right. She's an activist from the Greater Chicago Peace Community, both as a spokesman for collective meditation. I bet our listeners want to hear about what collective meditation is. And as an artist activist with her own brand of dance theater. Margot is an ordained minister, author, columnist, scholar, and teacher, and has served as ministerial seminary faculties for over years, and has an MBA from DePaul University. Dr. Margot is an author as well as doctor.
I'm a jackleg.
Yeah.
A proud jackleg.
As our wonderful Lawrence also has written a wonderful book that he'll be talking about a little bit later. Some of the things that have been written about Dr. Margot's book from some very influential and interesting people, such as Devarshi Steve Hartman, who is a yoga teacher and is one of the deans of one of the biggest yoga schools. And he says about her, wow. When somebody starts out with a wow, they're impressed. And he talks about how he just finished reading this book and how that it affected him to make such a difference in his life. And I agree with that. I, too, have looked at this book, and it's wonderful. Dr. Dennis Merritt Jones, author of Your Defining Moments, also talks about how important this book has been and how it has touched not only his lives, but the lives of many people. So we have also Reverend Nancy Innes, who is the senior pastor at Unity of Charlotte, who says that the book has been timely, and I agree with that. I am so inspired by the incredible gift that you're giving to the world. And definitely it is to the world. Eric E. Page, Reverend, who's an MA and program manager reference librarian at the Unity World Headquarters at Unity Village, Missouri, says, I feel excited about your manuscript. This will be useful to many people. I so appreciate your brief book for Silent Unity. Well, that's just a few, I'm sure, of people who have had some kind of an experience in reading your book. So let's begin today's interview by just talking a little bit about the writing book. You know, I've written a few books myself, and it's quite an interesting process. You have to tap into that creative aspect of yourself until almost the words are coming through you and not from you. So why don't you tell us a little bit, each one, about your experience and how your books came forth?
Well, Here's Peace is was published last year in 2014, and it was a result, really, of a sabbatical. I had been on a weekly basis participating in the church services at a local Center for Spiritual Living, and some reason or another, I began to experience burnout, and I decided that it was time to back up and just give God an opportunity to direct my life. And so I took the sabbatical, and in about 40 days, I was meditating after that 40 days, and on a very significant afternoon, I asked the question, God, how is peace manifesting in the world today? Because I couldn't see it. And I think a lot of people can't see peace at work or in action. And so I asked the question, and I sat and I listened. And what was brought to my mind was my innards. And as I listened, I realized that even though my body is working 24 hours a day to produce life, it never disturbed me. And you could tell from my size that I eat a lot, but my digestion never disturbed me. The extraction of nutrition from candy, cake, steak, and pork chops never disturbed me. So it became clear to me that peace is in fact manifesting as every life. If I stand in a field of grass, I know life is being produced. But does it disturb anything? No, never. It is there. Peace is here. It accompanies every life. And so that was the basis for writing the book.
And I understand that is the name of your book.
Here's Peace.
Here's Peace. I like it because you pinpoint it. You know, we talk in the future a lot. There's going to be peace. Someday there will be peace. But you're saying peace is here.
Yes, sir. All right. Everywhere.
That's wonderful. I've read your book, and I found it to be very easy reading, but the information was so profound, and I like that real well.
Thank you, David.
Dr. Margot, your book is Praise for Waves of Peace, Collective Meditation in Worldwide Practice. So how did that book kind of come through you?
Well, like a lot of materials that come out of our organization, and I want to say that Lawrence is with Peace Centers International. He's one of the founding members and vice president of Peace Centers International. A lot of materials come out because Lawrence asked a question.
Lawrence?
Lawrence asked a question. And he called me up one day. Lawrence teaches here at Unity of Charlotte, as you know. He'll call me up and he'll say, do we have a, and the question was that night, don't we have some kind of checklist or spreadsheet that shows collective meditation practices across world religions, you know, like a one pager. And I was just sure, because I have a lot of education and had been through ministerial training, that for sure I had one down in the files downstairs. And I said, let me go look. and I tore apart my files. And I was just sure, because I had one on the creation myth and on the golden rule and on lots of other practices. And I said, no, but you know, we got Wikipedia and we've got the internet. Surely there's one out there. No, there wasn't one out there. And I went on Amazon and I saw that for individual meditation, there were almost a 500,000 resources for individual meditation. For collective meditation, there was about 350. Yes. There was quite a difference. And so I asked myself, well, how hard can this be, really? How hard can this be? So I started, I got back to Lawrence. I said, give me a couple hours. I'll put a little checklist together. So, well, that was maybe, you know, 8 o'clock at night. And yeah, this ain't going to get done in a couple hours. And so a couple days went by. I had maybe a couple pages, 5 pages, 10 pages. About 10, 15 days later, I had 100 pages, maybe. And out of that came this book. There was a big gap to fill in the spiritual marketplace, let's call it that. And it was, I have a saying, if spirit shows it to you, it's yours to do.
All right. Well, we're going to take just a little break, and when we come back, we're going to ask you a little bit more about what is collective meditation. Now, I took TM, Transcendental Meditation, back in the 90s, but I did it because I wanted to feel peaceful. But I hear something from you that's a little different, that actually it's not about just me finding peace, but it's about the we, you call it, of us doing this collectively that's going to make the difference. So we'll talk about that when we come right back from this message.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Holtz.
Welcome back. And we want to welcome all of you who are listening to us. We want to wish you a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, at whatever time that you're hearing this in your part of the world. We're talking today to Lawrence Tolliver and to Dr. Margot Ruark. Is this right? Ruark. Okay. Dr. Margot, how about that? Is that good enough? So we're talking on peace today, and both of my guests today have both written a book. Lawrence Tolliver has written a book called Here's Peace, and our other guest, Dr. Margot, has written a book on praise for waves of peace, collective meditation, and worldwide practice. And that just kind of caught my eye, collective meditation. Would you like to talk about that just a little bit?
Yes, thank you. Collective meditation is Well, we go back to how Jesus defined collective meditation. It is when two or three are gathered, and we add to that with the intention of amplifying peace. Now, Lawrence and I have studied this and worked with this, and as I mentioned this morning, tried it out in the laboratory of what works and what doesn't work. And what we have found is that so much of meditation and meditation groups today are a bunch of people gathered in the same room, all in it for themselves. But what we are doing, and what kind of distinguishes what we're doing from other practices, is that getting together, people together, with the intention of amplifying peace for the benefit of the whole is something quite different. And we have traced this back to practices that date back and have been documented on cave drawings that date back 30,000 years. As I mentioned earlier, we don't see cave drawings of people sitting in the lotus position, meditating and chanting Om by themselves. They are in groups, and they are doing something for the benefit of the whole. And that's what we are about, using our power, our spiritual power, for the benefit of the whole. It has only taken people 50 years of, I call, New Age blather to forget what their spiritual power is about.
I think that is so important what you are saying right now. Mm-hmm. I think people need to realize we got caught up somewhere mm-hmm. in the me kind of movement, mm-hmm. and we left this whole idea of this connectedness. And you know, we used to talk a lot about the 100th monkey, and we talked about critical mass, mm-hmm. and that just became words all of a sudden, mm-hmm. just the thing, kind of a trend that we talked about. And I think you're bringing us back into the focus of being conscious of how powerful it is. You know, not only did Jesus say, let two or three be gathered together, but he sent everybody out, even in twos. He yes. never let anybody go alone, exactly. because he knew of that thing we call synergy. That's something that's greater than the sum of its parts. I think that's, do you find that's probably the most interesting part of your book when you were writing it? Was there a part that was the most passionate part of your book that you would like to share with our audience just real quickly?
The book compares and contrasts. It doesn't compare and contrast. It kind of lists as evidence of this phenomena 48 different kinds of collective meditation through the world's major religions, through the oddball religions, through secular phenomena, through national, I'm going to say political movements, where this idea of two or three coming together with the intention of amplifying peace has actually transformed societies, has transformed communities, has reduced crime and violence in measurable, remarkable ways. And so what we're saying is that humanity, this is something that's ingrained in humanity. It's not something that we have to go out of our way to do, that we have to stand on our head and learn how to spit nickels in order to do. We don't have to contort ourselves into funny physical... We don't have to learn a whole lot of new skills in order to do it. We have to get out of in front of our computers and come together with one or more persons with the intention of amplifying peace. It isn't harder than that.
I have one word for that. Amen.
Yeah.
Can I add something to that
sure
one,
can,
Reverend David? Yeah. When she brought forth the image of cave drawings and how all of the cave drawings show clusters and groups of people and even clusters and groups of animals. It's a togetherness that is depicted in these very earliest drawings. And we had a discussion, Reverend David, some time ago, and I was trying to make the point that peace is so accessible. It's been accessible to various sages and wise people through the years. And so we're talking about through thousands of years, peace really is a low-hanging fruit. It's a low-hanging spiritual fruit. It doesn't take a lot to get there. And that's why people have been meditating for so long. Yet, we today are so individualistic in our approach to everything that we don't know that there is power working together around one subject, peace. And so, you know, we're hoping that we can gain some attention to this phenomena that has just been so available and will always be available if we would just stop all of the other mental gymnastics that we are caught up in.
Lawrence, what would peace look like to you if we could attain this intention of peace that we're talking about? What would that look like? What is your vision?
Well, the vision, I think, is pretty simple, and it became simple really not that long ago, less than 6 months ago, it became simple. Somehow, I was drawn to a fact. Worship services take place every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Later on, Reverend Margot informed me that the Sikhs do,
the Sufis
do their religious practices, their worship, on Thursday evenings. But the rest of them are doing their practices on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So here is this natural evolution of religious activity that people are, I mean, absolutely tuned into. I mean, we know people that are going to be at church regardless of what's going on outside, rain, snow, hurricane, or what have you, they're going to be there. And so here we have millions of groups, and they all are doing their own thing around their own doctrine, but they all have a belief in peace. And so we're simply saying, all we have to do is take the message of collective meditation to these various religious orders, and quite naturally, as the earth turns, every Friday at noon when the Muslims gather, it turns 1 hour and there's another noon. Another hour, there's another noon. There's noons all around for 24 hours. Continuous. All we need to add to that is the peace element. And if people would collectively, and it doesn't have to be everybody in the church or in the synagogue or in the temple, it just has to be a few who are there with the intention of peace in meditation, and they will affect the consciousness of the globe as it turns. It's turning, doing its own thing. Humankind has set up this schedule of worship, and we're saying, let us train peace donors to be present in the worship services of all of the different. Matter of fact, every peace donor can choose which religion they want to affiliate with. But as a peace donor, when you get there, you are meditating for peace during the entire service. And then as the earth turns, there's somebody else in another congregation at noon or at 7 p.m. or at dawn, and they are doing the same thing. And so the continuity is part of nature.
Very, very interesting idea. I've always wondered why on Sunday mornings, you just feels like Sunday morning. Because so many people are doing the same thing.
Yes.
Whether they're going to their temple or their synagogue or their church or whatever they're doing, people have turned their attention toward a certain subject. They may have different beliefs, right. But the intent is usually worship or some recognition of something spiritual. Mm-hmm. So you're saying if we tap into that,
yes, it's there.
With intention,
that's right.
Of peace, I just think of the word peace, and I think, now, is it a thought in my mind? Is it a word that I say? Is it an emotion I feel? But what I heard today was, it comes from the field of possibility.
Yes.
So we have to see peace as a world peace as a possibility. It's not a thing of taking each person on or each group on, but it's an ability of tapping into something that's in all of us.
Consciousness.
Let's talk about that, Dr. Marco.
Well, I like to think of it as a power. A power, a God quality, a God power that is activated within all people. And it's something that we all can use on behalf of the whole. And that's really the way that I like to look at it.
Right.
And so that's a practice that we come together and we emphasize that.
Okay. Very good. So the world doesn't look like it's going toward peace. But for we who are visionary, I call us visionaries. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at titles, but that we really do. We have a vision, as you call it, the third eye vision, the ability of faith to see beyond the world of appearance and what it looks like. So it really looks like we're sitting here talking about something that is going the other way, that things are becoming more less than peaceful. But here we are talking about peace. But it seems like to me that what we're seeing is a release of all of ages and ages of old, uncollective, subconscious toxicity that is emerging out on the body politic itself. And that doesn't look good, but it's really good in the sense of we who are working with peace, especially the activist who's working with that, is working with something that is not hiding anymore in the unconscious. Mm-hmm. It's out there mm-hmm. where we can deal with it, mm-hmm. Literally. And I think that's why meditation has taken on a different nature mm-hmm. than what it was when I learned it in the 90s, what it was in the 60s, what it was when Shirley Klein made it more popular in the West. I think you're talking, I get a feeling that both of you are talking about something that has a little different slant to it than what I've known about meditation, and I'm sure many who's listening to us, that meditation has taken on a new mm-hmm. a new face a little bit about that. So
well, can I talk about it for a quick moment? The quick moment is this. When the Maharishi yogi put together the transcendental meditation approach and came to America, he ultimately realized that the collective practice of his disciples made a difference. Not only a difference, but it made an exponential difference. And so he was able to conduct some experiments in various continents and have these measures of what is the consequence of collective meditation. They found out that accidents reduced, that suicides reduced, that crime reduced, while a collective of trained transcendental meditation people were busy together with the intention of peace. These studies were published in peer-reviewed scientific journals, and they were able to come up with a formula that described what is the magnitude of two people or four people or eight people meditating together. What is it equal to? And so they discovered that it is possible for nine people meditating together to affect the consciousness of 8,100 people. Nine individuals together, collectively, can impact the consciousness of 8,100 people. And so we're really talking about an exponential impact. And they conclude that less than 9,000 people can impact the consciousness of the entire planet. So this is something that we did not know about until the Transcendental Meditation groups decided to study it with outside scientists documenting the truth about it. And so now it's just someone that needs to demonstrate it. And believe me, I am actually a religious scientist in a Unity Church. I'm about the demonstration of global peace, period. There's nothing else worth my time except this.
I like the demonstration. It reminds me of it just comes to mind. It's a scripture that I really like, but it says, I come not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come in the demonstration of the power of in this case, peace, says
yes.
The Holy Spirit. So this is about action, isn't it?
It is.
This is about action, not just a philosophy, a theology,
exactly.
Or whatever. I don't know how much time we have, but I was wondering if somebody might have a question for our guests.
No, he's looking for a break.
Oh, okay. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment to finish our talk with these two wonderful guests that we have today on the subject of peace, world peace.
We'll be back with more of today's program on science, sound, and spirituality after this word from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.somaenergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now back to today's program on science, sound, and spirituality with David Hulse.
We want to welcome you back to Spirituality, Sound, and Science. And today we are interviewing two very special authors, speakers. They do many, many things, but the main thing that they're doing is being activists for peace and to help us to bring peace into the world. I really think we could talk about anything else, but it all comes back to peace. If we have peace, we will be a prosperous, blessed people on this planet. And I think peace is the first thing. It is certainly the great fruit of the Spirit, it says. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. So we're going to bring peace that way. We wanted to take a little time and just ask if there's a couple in the audience that would like to make a comment or a question to our guests today.
Thank you. I want first to say congratulations to the authors and to the leaders of this program. The ideas are extremely powerful and fascinating. And I would like to just ask the question about what is the status, if you can give us a status update of your work as it currently exists in the Charlotte area.
Thank you. Appreciate the question, Dr. Love. I like that. We have a group of people who have been meeting regularly since May of 2013, and we gather together to meditate for peace on Tuesday evenings. We're going to change that from Tuesday evenings to Thursday evenings. We don't know if that'll start at the beginning of October or November, but it will change to Thursdays. And the reason is that we need to synchronize with an existing religion, and in this case, a worldwide religion. And so when the Sufis gather, we'll be gathering, and we will be meditating for peace. And so we are going to encourage others to establish peace assemblies like we have here at this church, Unity of Charlotte. And we're going to want to train individuals who can facilitate the organization and development of this meditative capability. So our desire really is to establish peace assemblies and peace centers wherever there is some receptivity. I have proposed a couple of times that our group members just show up at somebody's church and sit there and meditate. Well, my people don't want to be intrusive, and they don't want to be weird when they get there to the congregation, because that'll defeat the purpose. So we have to find a way to identify congregations and worship practices that are receptive to us sitting in silence in meditation during the entire service. We do know that there are two New Thought congregations that do this. For example, if you look in this very church facility, you see a seat that says Silent Chaplain, and there's one over in that corner that says Silent Chaplain. And so the trained chaplains here actually sit in meditation during the service. And I know similar things happen in centers for spiritual living. The practitioners are asked, a couple of them, to sit and hold the space for peace while the service is going on. Now, I don't imagine you'll find that in a Presbyterian church and other congregations, but that is an example of a small way in which to introduce the collective meditation for peace. And if it's a congregation of 400 people, it just needs to be two of us. Now, what does that mean? It means we're coming with trained minds. We are disciplined. We know how to access peace, and we know how to permit it to radiate through us in all directions. Why? Because we have disciplined ourselves and trained ourselves to have the capacity to do this.
For 1 hour. For 1 hour.
For 1 hour.
Yes. At least.
Yes. So we can get this done. And there is, I hope I've painted a picture of how it can be done. And these approaches are what has been developed here. It's almost as though we've had a think tank that has been digging deeply into spiritual truths, and we've unearthed a few things that are worth our living.
Right. Thank you. I believe we have somebody else that would like to ask a question.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you all for being here this weekend to celebrate International Day of Peace with us in Charlotte. It's been wonderful. My question is, or I guess ask you to elaborate a little bit more about the concept of a low-hanging fruit. I'm intrigued with that. I've heard you speak about it. You all speak about it as it relates to peace. And recently I was in a conversation with a Middle Eastern person, and he made also the reference of picking the low-hanging fruit. So I'd like for you to elaborate on that a little, please.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. There have been some very lofty goals that people in pulpits have put in front of us for quite some time. And they feel like lofty goals, primarily because the people who are espousing these lofty goals do not have an understanding that certain consciousness is available right here, right now. So when somebody says, love everybody like you love yourself, well, it appears like that would be a lofty goal for any one individual to love everybody. And we know how often we beat up our own self, so we don't really even have a measure of what does it mean to love somebody like I love myself if I'm beating up on myself. You know, so we have some issues to work out about what is present and what is not. Well, in New Thought, we are convinced wherever God is, peace is. And wherever God is, love is. And wherever God is, light and joy and wisdom and understanding and intelligence, not only just intelligence, but infinite intelligence. So what are we saying? It's a low-hanging fruit if you can affirm with all of your being that it's already present. That's what makes it a low-hanging fruit. It's already present. And those sages and wise people through the years realized through practice and experience that peace was already present. And they learned how to access it. And so when we talk about low-hanging fruit, all of the values that we attribute to God are easily accessible to humanity. We just need to stop putting it so far away and making it lofty.
Thank you. Dr. Margo, you're from Chicago, right, area? And I'm just looking at your bio. I mean, you're really very involved.
Yes.
In a lot of things and trained in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder how you bring all that together in what you're doing right now and kind of give us an update of what's happening through your work and where things are.
Well, right now, this book has taken quite a bit of my energy and focus and direction. And I'm also very much involved with activism through the arts. And one of my big projects that I'm just starting on right now is a rework, if you might call it, of a pacifist ballet. I'm a choreographer of a 1930s ballet called The Green Table. I don't know if anyone has seen it here. It has won many awards and so on. But we're going to make a collage out of this and do some other reworking of it. Not do a historical reconstruction. That's beyond what we want to do. We want to modernize it, make it accessible to those who are involved in it, use a lot more modern music and so on. So that's what we're doing, working with a young multi-generational cast and of course a very diverse cast that we have, and we're going to see what wants to happen with that. So I just got started with it.
Oh, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I do believe that how we reach the collective heart, mm-hmm, of human beings, it seems to be through the arts of some type, mm-hmm, whether it's through music, mm-hmm, and singing, which it seems to draw everybody together. I think when I hear a song that's really popular, like a Beatles song or something like that's been around for a long, long time. And I think, how many millions of people right now, if they heard that song, would go, oh, I love that song, mm-hmm, and have a memory by it. And there are people that if you would put them in a room together and just have them talk to each other about their beliefs and their difference of race, culture, gender, religions, or so on and so forth, would find totally a lot to be separate about. But there's something about vibration. Vibration. So let's talk a little, if we could, about peace as a vibration. Mm-hmm. Because I'm in that work. I believe that everything reduces to energy, and all energy is vibrating. So peace as a vibration. I'm just throwing this on you guys.
I hear you, but you see, I'll see through that. That's one of them setup things.
Uh-huh.
Do we have 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, why do I say it's one of those setup things? Reverend Dr. David is into sound therapy. He is one of the founders of a particular branch of sound therapy. And so he understands that there are wavelengths of sound that have names. And one of those wavelengths of sound is called theta. And another one is beta. Another one is alpha. Another one is a gamma, etc. And so Dr. David knows that the sound wave that resonates the most with meditation is theta. He understands it very clearly, and he knows how, through the use of tuning forks, how to create an environment of theta to immerse you in so that you can physically and consciously experience a meditative state. So you don't really have to go through a lot of woo-woo. You don't have to listen to a poem. You don't have to listen to bells. But these two tuning forks, if they are hit successively one after the other and put next to your ears, you'll drop right into a meditative state. So this man knows exactly the sound of peace.
Very well said. Very well said. I have a idea that comes to me has for a long time about this whole thing of how we're going to transform and change the world, such as to peace. I think it has to be through what I call the back door of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that we can just sit down and mentally, intellectually, any longer convert each other.
Correct.
Because everybody thinks they're the right one. And
correct.
Their God is the right one.
Correct.
So that's not going to work.
Correct.
So there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
And of course, coming from my background as a doctor in divinity, of course, my Bible has made a big difference. But I was always fascinated where it said, and Christ shall come like a thief in the night. I thought, a thief in the night? What in the world does that mean? Mm-hmm. But it said, if the man in the house would have been ready for him. And I think the man in the house is our own human ego.
There you go.
And if our ego is ready for you, because I don't believe like you do, and I don't think like you do, it just cuts us off. But just think about how that intention, spirit, can come through
exactly.
the back of consciousness, in through the unconsciousness, into the heart, and people just begin to have a shift. They don't even know, they have to even understand why they had the shift. They just feel that shift.
Yes.
And that's my vision, is that we are in a great shift. Now, how do I know that? And I just want to throw this out because it goes with what you, both of you have said about the two or three gathering together. And I did a study on how that molecules change into from hydrogen to lithium, so on and so forth. And the way they do that is once they're in a pattern, say of a hydrogen atom, they have to go into chaos. They have to go into an unstable state before they can reorganize. And it said, and this is science, science said that observing this, two molecules went over here and just got quiet. And when those two molecules got together, they created like an electromagnetic field that got four and 16, and they created what they called a pod. A pod. Now, you and I would call that a community.
Yeah.
But a pod. And when they reached critical mass, just enough of them. This is not about this, I'll make this clear. This is not about quality, quantity. It's about quality. I'm going to say that again. It's not about quality.
Quantity.
I get that backwards. You'll take that out, I guess. It is about
quality.
Quantity and not just
quantity.
Quality. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's about the quantity, not it's about the quality and not the quantity. There you got me. He'll take care of all that. That's why we have a producer. But I believe in that so much. But it said when they reached enough,
yeah,
then they jumped into another level and reorganized themselves as a lithium atom. It was the same stuff because we're all made out of the same stuff.
Exactly.
And that's what the quantum world has done for us, is to make us realize we're just nothing but a bunch of electrons, protons, neutrons, and neutrinos and bosons and all these little particles. Everything's made out of the same thing,
yes,
but consciousness organizes it differently.
That's exactly.
And once
right.
we get down into that subtle level, mm-hmm. and work with, and that's mm-hmm. what meditation does, isn't
exactly.
it? Meditation gets us in through that theta frequency into a place where we all are sharing this huge field of existence before we was ever anything else pertaining right. to an identity of culture, society, race, religion, or anything. And I believe, Dr. Marco, if we can get there,
yeah.
then we can transform the whole world. And my vision is to see them put down their weapons and yes. learn war no more.
Amen.
And that's why I love what you both are doing. And you have our total support in every way. The last few minutes that we have, I want each one of you to tell everybody how they can find you, more about you, if you have a website, where they can get your book. And so let's spend that time doing that. Dr. Margo?
Yes, find more about our book and what we do, our mission, our values at peacecentersinternational.org. And there's all kinds of ordering information there.
Well, they just want to visit Charlotte and come to the place where all of this is being birthed. And we would just love to embrace newcomers anytime. And we can be reached through the website as well as through my cell phone, which is 704-999-7915.
There you go. So you can get in touch with Dr. Margo and with Lawrence if you want to know more about the work. Maybe you want to be a peace donor.
Amen.
I like that. And also, if you're sitting out there listening to us and you're by yourself and you don't even know where you could go to have collective meditation, I'm sure there's groups on the internet, but I would really encourage you to start your own. Start your own meditation group from this understanding of the power of collective meditation. So please do that. Anyone can do that. If you just open up a home or open up a place, if you have a place that's very neutral, begin to invite your friends and just say, let's just spend 1 hour, whatever time that you have, and just meditate peace. I do believe peace is who and what we are. Before we'll ever have it, we have to know
have to be
who
it.
We are. Exactly. I want to thank both of you so much
thank
for being with us.
You so
you've been great, and we just bless your work, that it will flourish, and that we'll be blessed, and that we will be back together again talking about how much things have changed and developed since the time of this interview.
Thank you, sir.
Look forward to it.
We want to thank all of you that have joined us today on our podcast. You can reach us at www.somaenergetics.com. Please let us hear from you until our next time.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program and the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Until then, This is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.